The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You are tuned in to Friday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing from Lingfield and Wolverhampton that we're going to take a look at a little bit later on. It's Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio from 1:50pm to guide you through all of the action on Friday. But for now, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on Friday's edition of the podcast to look at the best of the racing and all the racing news is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Sam. And flats nearly upon us, Lincoln on Saturday, and it'll be great to see some proper turf action.
Yeah, it is, yeah. The start of the flat season is nearly upon us, as you mentioned, regardless of what they say about the Jockeys' Championships. It is starting this weekend
This
for
weekend,
us.
Yep, definitely Lincoln and Dubai World Cup over in Dubai, although arguably the best jockeys are probably over there in Dubai anyway. But yeah, Jockey Championships caused a bit of a furore in the papers. For me, it's got very unpopular in recent years. Best jockey in the world, Ryan Moore, has no interest in winning it. Richard Hughes only ever really takes it seriously if he's got a chance after September. I think something needs to be changed. Perhaps it could have started a little bit early, include the Craven and stuff. But like I say, hopefully it's been a little bit of focus. We've talked about it a lot more recently than what we have done in probably the last 7 years. And like I say, racing needs to be more open to change. I think we're very, very much a closed shop. We don't like changing things. And give it a go. It's $100,000 in prize money, and it's not just for champion jockey. There's, I think, champion apprentice monthly top.
It's a prize pool, isn't it? I mean,
and slight concern. Kipco is a sponsor, and the fact that Kipco seem to sponsor everything at the moment, we don't seem to be branching out to other mainstream sponsorships. But like I say, I think we do need to make a few changes, and ultimately, it won't make any difference to me. I just think that, like I say, it might get a bit more interest, and like I say, change needs to be done sometimes.
Yeah, and it'll probably spark the interest of jockeys further down the ladder. I mean, I don't think it's going to stop Ryan Moore from taking the rides in Dubai and America and elsewhere.
But
it's not going to entice him.
The fact that they're less likely to be away in that period, because as soon as we get into the last month of the season, Breeders' Cup, Melbourne, jockeys are riding abroad, because obviously there's far better prize money, far better opportunities, and the racing's pretty low grade in October. Generally, all weather fair, not much turf race, and yes, we've got November handicap, it's not included the Racing Post Trophy, a Group 1 Owners Championship. I'm slightly more sceptical about, because obviously owners going to be running horses all year anyway. I'm not quite sure why that had to change, but the Jockey Championship, give it a go. I don't think it's going to do any harm, but we will see.
Yep, okay, fair enough, we certainly will. But we'll go into the some of the racing then, some of the flat racing. As you say, it starts on Saturday really at Doncaster with the feature of the day, the Lincoln, and just in the last hour or so as you record this podcast, they've drawn the stalls. They had Andy Carroll on at the races this morning to draw the stalls out with Mick Shannon, so I'm not sure what the thinking was there. But mind you, all the favourite at 5-1 has been given a tough draw, James.
Yeah, it's on a straight. You want to see where the pace is, but generally high numbers perhaps are favoured at Doncaster, and that is a bit of a concern, I think, for the favourite, Monjol, who's obviously pretty progressive last year. Won his maiden at 10-1 on at Beverley, so obviously it wasn't the strongest of maidens, and then won a very nice handicap at Ascot under Liam Jones, and kept progressing quite nicely. Graham Lee, interesting jockey booking. I think that's quite eye-catching, and I think he's got a great chance. But the one I like is GM Hopkins, who beat Monjol in Silver Cambridgeshire last year. They are first and fourth respectively, and GM Hopkins wasn't disgraced with a mark of 100 in two subsequent handicaps behind Homage and Baltic Knight, and John Gosden for me would have probably primed them for this. Robert Havin takes a ride with obviously Woody Buick in Dubai, and GM Hopkins would be my selection. I think I do like him quite a bit. Like Woody Haggis said, there's no real reason why the form should be reversed, so GM Hopkins will be the selection. Open Tempest, last year's winner, again being campaigned in Dubai this winter. The turf efforts weren't too bad. He was second behind Umgio in Maidan in January. The dirt he didn't really take to. I'm surprised Connections kept persevering and running him on the dirt. But he had a very similar poor Dubai last year and then went on to win it first time out under a big weight last year. So you certainly couldn't rule him out. But like I say, GM Hopkins will be the selection.
Okay, yeah, GM Hopkins then is 6-1 for the Lincoln at the time recording. We'll just run through the prices as we have them on Thursday. Montreal, the 5-1 favourite, 6-1 GM Hopkins. Zawan is 8-1. Gabriel's Kaka, 10-1. It's 14s for Hillbilly Boy and Muharib, 16s or bigger. The rest, last year's winners you touched on there, Ocean Tempest, is a 20-1 shot. Elsewhere around the world, we've got a great flat action from the Dubai World Cup, of course, on Saturday, and it's two American horses that lead the betting here. California Chrome 11-8 and Lee 4-1 are the favourite and the second favourite. California Chrome, of course, just chinned in its Triple Crown bid last year in America. Would it have a good chance in Dubai, James?
Yeah, I think so. There is a little bit of concern. Sheikh Hanam Al-Maktoum says that he doesn't think the Mainland Dirt is going to suit the American horses, but the trainer concerned and then the media that have gone to Dubai this last week, they don't seem too concerned about that. Stall 9, perhaps a little bit wary, drawn widest, yet Connection seems pretty happy to keep him out wide because generally on Maidan during the dirt season so far, you're going to be drawn low and up at a pace. Those drawn wide struggle to get into it. There is only 9 runners, and obviously he's a very, very classy horse, so it shouldn't be too much of an option, but I'd say probably some other horses, they'd be a little bit more concerned. For me, it's not that a competitive a race for the most valuable race in the world. It's such a shame Toast New York went wrong, because I think Jamie Osmond's horse would have been the most likely winner. I would have really strongly fancied him. But he's not running. Leah, I don't know too much about, but Ron Wood, who's very astute with his American form, writes for the Racing Post. He's pretty confident about Leah, and obviously his second favourite. Basically, African Story and co, I don't think they're really going to be good enough on dirt. He won the race on Tapita last year, but whether he's going to be as effective on the dirt. He won the Super Saturday Group 1, but it was a very, very weak Group 1. I think the Americans will just dominate. So California Chrome, I think he is by far our most likely winner.
Yeah, fair enough. 11-8 then, California Chrome. What do you mention of the what do you make of the switch to dirt over the all weather, apart from the fact that it's going to play into the hands of certain horses?
Yeah, Tapeta never seemed to really get on. The trouble was a lot of turf horses weren't so quite so good on it, and obviously dirt horses failed to handle it completely. So we lost the American Challenge.
Yeah,
and Dubai World Cup, it is the World Cup, so they need American horses, not just the best UK ones. And we're getting some freak results. We're getting some 25-1 winners that never really figured again. So I can see why they've gone back to dirt. They probably would have hoped for a bit of a stronger American representation about, so when they got the two runners for such a valuable race. But perhaps if this goes well, they might entice a few more over next year. We've got a couple of Japanese raiders as well. One of those is a turf horse ridden by Chris Fasumion. I think he's got a good chance if he handles the dirt. And obviously old Cyglance, Andrew Bowden's runner, his is first time on the dirt. Germany is such a culture shock. It isn't easy for our horses, but I'll say it's still a good race. It's a great spectacle. Like, I was lucky enough to be at the Dubai World Cup a few years ago now, and it's a great occasion. And there's some real good support in action. The turf racing is absolutely cracking. The Dubai Duty Free, I think it's a Dubai turf now, maybe mile one. Greg Gatsby runs there, and that'll be a fascinating race. You've got the Alcoz Sprint, the Golden Shaheen on the dirt as well, where the American sprints will probably dominate. But yeah, no, you've got a cracking meeting in prospect, and it's a great day.
Yeah, certainly should be a fantastic action on Saturday from Dubai. We'll go back to the jumps then, just touch on a quick bit of jump news before we move on to take a look at Friday's action. The new one has been ruled out of Aintree with a back injury, so he won't go and defend his crown there. But primed for the next champion hurdle at Cheltenham next year, according to the paper this morning.
Yeah, I'm slightly concerned by what I read there, because kissing spines can be pretty serious. It's where the vertebrae in the spine actually connect and causes pain. So if you imagine when you get back pain yourself, you're in a lot of pain, and the last thing you're going to be doing is running. I've been associated with a couple of horses that had it, and for me, they never ever came good again. You can give injections between the vertebrae to kind of lubricate it and make it more painless, I suppose, for the horse. But going over jumps, it may explain why he's not jumped so well this year and why he was disappointing in the champion hurdle. For me, it's a problem which doesn't automatically get better over the summer. And like I say, you'll need some good vets and some good advice to try and sort it out. It is not an easy problem to get out. It's not a muscle. It's actually the vertebrae themselves, and it can be very, very tricky to cure. So like I say, I'd be deeply concerned about that for New One's future. And I can certainly see why they're giving the rest of the season off. Time can be a good cure. But like I say, I've been associated with a couple of horses where their career's basically been over.
Yeah.
And competing at the level the New One's been competing at last year, you need to be in peak condition. So, like I said, I would be concerned about what I was reading today about the kissing spines. And I'll say hopefully they can get him back, but I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as it appears in the paper myself.
Okay. Yeah, well, fingers crossed we can see him back to something near his best there and he recovers from that injury. We'll move on then to take a quick look at some of Friday's action. We've picked out three races on Friday, and as we come into the flat season, they are all flat races that we've got for you. The first we'll start with is at Lingfield. This one comes up at 5:15. Six furlongs the trip in this class five, with six of them contesting it. And a few last time out winners here, James.
Yeah, we've got an interesting race. We've got three last time out winners that topped the weights. Hills and Dales has been a little bit disappointing, really. He was off a mark last time out. He won at 5-4, but he only ran to an RPI 57. It was a disappointing effort, really, on the bare figures. Hopefully confidence boosted by getting a win. Handicap decided to drop him £5 for that maiden effort. He's running off a mark at 72, but earlier overturned at 2-1 on at Wolverhampton back in February. So hard to know exactly how reliable Hills and Dales actually is. I think he didn't get a great ride at Lingfield. I think Shane Gray went a little bit too quick on him, and you've got to wonder what effects that had on him. So there's a few question marks about Hills and Dales, despite the fact he won last time out. Autumn Tomic, he's been progressing steadily. He got off a mark at Chelmsford last time out, winning a maiden, beating Renounce by a length. It wasn't the strongest of races, but a likely race progressive sort. I think he can improve, and he's likely to be the selection for Seb Sanders and Simon Dow. Subversive, representing Mark Johnson, has had a bit of a quiet time. Most of his string are now two-year-olds for the Darley operation, so he's not got quite as many three-year-olds as what he's had in recent years. But Subversive was off the mark at Wolverhampton on his seasonal return, winning by a length and a quarter for Marcus 72. Runs in a six-round penalty 8 days later, and you'd imagine he'll be there or thereabouts. He'll provide a guide to the form, but I just think Orton Tomic could be slightly more progressive. An interesting one is Vajovis, who Stuart Williams picked up from Sir Mark Prescott's yard. He kept running away with Luke Morris every single time he ran when with his old yard. And interestingly, he has settled a little bit better since switching to Stuart Williams' yard. They've taken off some of the headgear. They put a tongue tie on. And interesting to see how he gets on. But for me, Autumn Tonic will be the selection.
Okay, and Autumn Tonic getting the nod for James in that one. Then the 5:15 at Lingfield. We'll go over to Wolverhampton for our next two. The first of these comes up at 6:45. This one ran over the extended 5 mile trip. It's a class five, with again six of them going down to contest it. And all six in the field covered by just £2 on the official ratings, James.
Yeah, it's a close run thing. The one I quite like is Van Wilder, who the most likely raced in the field. Both runs at Wolverhampton so far. Shinemi goes on the surface. A nice debut in third behind Beat Goes On before making a win in a maiden over six furlongs, horse and distance here 32 days ago. A lot at a mark of 70. I think that's pretty fair. And I think he's open to progression. Obviously, this is a 0-70 race. And like I said, they're all right between 68 and 70. So they should all be finishing in a line if the handicap has got it quite right. But I think there's a few of these that are very progressive and a few of these are a little bit exposed. The Mark Johnson horse, Rennie McIntosh, seemed to be a revelation. Switched to several, won by very, very easy length and three quarters at 25-1. And the fact that he was such a big price for a Mark Johnson runner suggested that was a little bit of a surprise. So whether he's going to repeat it back at Wolverhampton on a Tapita, that would be a question mark for me. Grosmont's very exposed for James Gibbon. And Tom Eaves, a similar comment applies to Clear Love. He managed to win a maiden at Wolverhampton, but ran a shocker. Switched to Handicap Company at Lingfield, so I think he's got a little bit to prove there for David O'Meara. Sonny York, he's another one that is lightly raced. Wasn't disgracing a handicap over five furlongs. Steps back up to six for James Tate, who does very, very well at Wolverhampton. He's probably the main danger, but Van Wilder would be a pretty confident selection for Richard Fahey and Tony Hamilton.
Okay, there we go then. The pick for James in that one, the 6:45 at Wolverhampton. We'll move then to the next race on the card from Wolves and the last race on our podcast, the 7:15. This one is a handicap over the extended 2 mile trip. It's a class four with seven of them going down to contest it. Who gets the selection here?
Yeah, I'll just go with my old man's horse, Tours, who runs in this 2 mile handicap. She was a really progressive 3-year-old last year. She won her first race off a mark of 57, ended up winning three. Won at Nottingham, Salisbury, and then Bath, a 20 grand handicap over 2 miles. She's extremely slow, but she's got a very, very good attitude. She keeps on galloping. And we've got high hopes for her this season. Slight concern is the yard's been a little bit quiet. We haven't really run much on new weather this winter, mostly backward 3-year-olds and maidens that had little chance. Biotic was a little bit disappointing yesterday, and he finished fourth on his seasonal return, so she may just need it. But I think Dad's found a nice race for her. There's only really one possible danger, and that is the Appleby Apollo 11. But we've employed the services of Aaron Jones, a pretty useful £7 claimer, to take £7 off of Cam Hardy. I rode her a lot last year when he was claiming seven, so we thought we'd keep Prentice on her. She's a very, very straightforward rider. She just basically goes as fast as she can possibly go. And hopefully £7 will give her every chance. So she'll be the selection. Obviously, the main danger, like I said, is Mick Appleby's Apollo 11. A recent acquisition to the yard was an ex-Donna McCain horse. First run for the Appleby team was a good second to gear with a Terry. He's obviously on a bit of a roll in the weather at the moment. And then he went on to win at Chelmsford, beating Noguchi by a length and a quarter. He runs on a £6 penalty. I don't think the handicap would be putting him up £6, so he could be a little bit badly treated off at the weights. Connections have gone to use £5 Alistair Rawlinson's claims. So that could well be key. I think it's between those two, but I'm going to favour Tours for my dad.
Okay, then Tours then in that final race on our podcast for James at 7:15 at Wolverhampton. If you could just spin us through, please, your three best picks for Friday's racing.
Yeah, then 5:15 at Lingford, I've gone for Orton Tonic for Simon Dow. He won his maiden quite nicely last time out. First round of the handicap, I think he can continue to progress. 6:45 at Wolverhampton, the unexposed Van Wilder can follow up his recent course and distance maiden success. And finally, in the 7:15, I've gone for Tours, who makes her seasonal return, but I hope she can give my dad a winner.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of James Millman ahead of Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell. So do join us for that. Full race commentaries and results from all of the action on Friday. Thank you for joining me on the podcast, James, and good luck with your selections on Friday.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.